The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Live from Boundary Oak Distillery in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, it is The Morning Blaze. Doc Thompson, Cal is with us. Chris Cruz joining us as well. I'm not sure what you managed to do, Chris Cruz, that allowed us access to a distillery at 5 in the morning, but good job. Good job.
You know, that's the definition of a good producer there.
I just can't believe that they said, hey, we'll just leave the key under the mat.
They said to leave the key under the mat.
I don't know.
And he left me a note. He said, do not go behind the door with a code on it.
Oh. So unlimited booze and one simple door we're not supposed to go behind.
Yes. And did you know that
we were like... I'm giving us 20 minutes before we're Jimmy in the lock.
Did you know that we're like 2 miles from the gold people?
Gold people? You mean Fort Knox?
No, the gold people.
The gold people.
Yes.
Who are the gold people? People?
I think you mean Fort Knox.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the gold depository. Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you know something I don't know. Are there people made of gold as well? Is it Goldfinger? Is that who it is?
I think it is.
Oh, okay. I thought they meant just like a bunch of gold.
No.
Although technically there probably isn't any gold in there.
All right, very
really.
According to Glenn, there is no gold.
There's no gold in there.
There's no gold. We'll find out. Right? We'll let you know, Glenn. A couple more drinks. We're Jimmy in the lock. Don't worry about it. Hey, join us on the Twitter, if you would. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, and at Cal79. That's K-E-L-79. And the hashtag, What I Learned Today. And throughout the program, we'll be on Periscope, so you can see...
One Periscope right now.
Hello, Periscope. And you can see inside Boundary Oak Distillery, very cool facility. And we'll also do some Facebook Lives a little bit later on.
Hour three? Yep.
So it'll be theblaze.com/Doc Thompson Show. So make sure to follow that page as well. And then
Facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show.
That's right. Sorry. Facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show. And then later on today, we'll also post some videos that we'll do inside here. Really cool.
Oh, this is beautiful. As soon as you walk in, you can smell like this nice caramel. I don't know what to call
aroma.
It. Aroma, yes. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Have you been in the room there? Because he took some out. All right.
Yes.
Boundary Oak Distillery makes patent armored diesel, among other things.
Yes.
And you may recall we've, I think, talked to him about 2 months ago.
2 months ago, yeah.
Had him on patent armored diesel, named after General Patton. Mm-hmm. And some other libations they create here as well. We'll talk to Brent, the proprietor, and some other people. We'll talk a little bit about that. But the good news is we have access to this booze on a day like today, a day when they're going to have the American, hopefully, a vote on Obamacare repeal. The problem is it's going to be a repeal and replace with something really crappy.
Hmm. So something almost worse.
It actually probably will be, because there's going to be no incentive to repeal this crappy thing they put in place, because probably, hey, we did it. All right, let's move on.
We do what we said we're going to do.
Hey, good job. And the Democrats are going to repeal it with anything better.
No.
It's going to be worse. All we've done is accept a new level of bad with government involved in healthcare. That's essentially what's going to happen. So
if you polish a turd, it's still a turd.
Right, exactly. It may be turd light,
A turd light.
A polished turd light, but
slightly
still a turd.
less turdy.
Right.
Turd.
So what we had problems in healthcare in America. We had the healthcare industry, health insurance,
and
industry.
Still do.
Right. We had rising costs in the health industry. Mm-hmm. Americans had pretty good healthcare. I mean, we led the world in access to facilities and drugs and treatments and doctors, but the costs were going up and up. And instead of addressing the real problems, and that was government involvement and limiting the possibility for free market solutions, Obama said, of course, we've got to take control. Government's got to have a greater control of
right.
this. The Republicans throughout the last 8 years have said, no, that's horrible. We need free market solutions. In fact, here's 60 times that we're going to vote to replace, to repeal it and just repeal it outright, or repeal it and replace it with something pretty free market.
Supposedly.
60 times, right.
Right.
They actually have the ability now, House, Senate, and White House.
All controlled by the GOP.
And they say, well, those things we did before, I'm not sure that's the way now.
Maybe.
It's a new world.
Let's stop and think a little bit.
So they likely will get this today. They need 216 votes. They claim to have 220. They are not going to end up with egg on their face again and go, oh, we miscounted. We only had 14. It's not going to happen.
It, no.
It's going to pass today. It's going to go to the Senate. They'll get it done. And Obama's going to sign this thing.
You mean Trump.
Excuse me. Trump will sign this yeah. horrible thing. You can understand my confusion.
Right. It's the same thing. It's, it really is the same thing again.
So at the end of the day, when they sign this, it will be better than Obamacare.
I guess. In
worse
a sense.
Than what we had prior to Obamacare.
Right.
So where do they go from there then? A year, two, ten, because it is unsustainable.
You think
the costs will still rise. You will still not have the coverage people want. And there'll just be greater government control infringing free market possibilities.
You think leading up to this point, they would have prepared, prepped beforehand. They knew they knew coming into it they were going to repeal Obamacare.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
They tried so many
right?
times, and it's like all of a sudden, oh wait, we're here. Oh, we have. Oh, yeah, let's work up something new.
We can't do that thing we've already done
we'll
or
do
tried
that later on.
It didn't work 60 times. We finally learned our lesson.
Yeah,
we had to do something
it'll work
else
this time around.
Yeah. So. I told you this under Obamacare. Eventually, somebody is going to say, we've just got to have a single-payer system.
Probably. That's where they're
going.
It
will be more and more. Government programs don't go away. It doesn't. It just becomes, well, we didn't throw enough money at the solution. There wasn't enough control.
Let's add more regulation and money.
That's it. That's what's going to happen.
It's really depressing.
And that will, mark my words, that'll be the argument probably 4 years from now, definitely 8 years from now, when we have a greater track record of failures with whatever this new piece of crap is. And people are like, we've got to do something. And Democrats will be screaming for single payer.
Right. And I'm thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed in the Republican Party. I mean, you've had all this time, and now you have control of all three branches, and still you fail. Why? What?
I really think it comes down to there's only a handful of people like Freedom Caucus members that really support the ideas on the platform of the Republican Party, and the rest are just saying, what's Kasich you have to say about this?
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, how much money are they going to give me?
Exactly.
That's really what it comes down to. I don't know why you're too upset, though. The Republicans did one thing with this health care bill that they are likely to vote on today and likely pass.
Oh, okay. Something good?
They exempted themselves and their staffers.
Huh. That sounds familiar. That happened last time with Obamacare.
Yeah, so
Congress was exempt.
Right. Initially, they were not exempt under Obamacare.
I thought they were, weren't they?
Initially.
Uh-huh.
And then people are like, whoa, this looks really bad. You can't exempt yourself. And they got rid of that piece.
Oh.
So members of Congress were subjected to the same rules and regulations. That was a big push. So for the last whatever years that this has been in place, because remember it was rolled out piece by piece, mm-hmm. Congress and their staffers had to get their insurance through the exchanges as well. That had to be a part of it. Under this new bill, one of the failures is states will be allowed to opt out of the pre-existing condition part if they meet the requirements of the federal government, which they will never be able to reach.
Right.
Because it's, well, we've got to make sure that you have enough insured people and they're getting coverage and all of this. If that was the case under Obamacare, we wouldn't need to repeal it. Or
no,
if it was
yeah.
the case prior to.
Right.
I mean, you are going to have failures under the free market system. Some people are not going to have insurance. Some people will choose not to, and some people will not get coverage. Or some people, it'll be too expensive.
Right.
That's just how it is. So they will not be able to reach the standard. So it's a failure that they're still talking about the pre-existing condition and government mandating one way or another if you can or can't or must not insure people with pre-existing conditions. But under that, where they said, you can, your state can opt out of it. If you live in a state that has opted out of it, if you are a staffer or a congressman that has that provision in your state, and they opt out, that opts you out as well. It's not just the pre-existing conditions. So they would opt out of a bigger chunk of it.
So this the residents go the same way as the...
Right, exactly. So there's going to be a whole lot of them then that are not going to be subjected to the same horrible parts of the exchanges as well.
That's nice.
But the good news is...
There's good news.
There
okay.
is a good
I was waiting for this.
Yeah, yeah. So the Republicans have said, okay, we know this is a problem, but just vote for this bill today, and then we'll deal with that exemption part separately.
The kicking the can down the road.
No, Cal, you can trust them. I'm sure as soon as they pass this and get the votes, they'll say, okay, now, show of hands, who wants the exemption to go away? And they'll all do it, and then that goes away.
Yeah, I'm not
too confident. Oh, wait a minute.
Today's confident.
Thursday. They usually travel late Thursday and Friday back to their districts or states, so... It'll be Monday. Wait a minute. They travel back to D.C. on Monday. Tuesday. It'll be first thing Tuesday morning.
First thing Tuesday morning.
Yeah, it'll be like get
I'm
the cup of coffee.
I'm having a hard time believing.
Go in there, that, and they're going to go ahead and do that. They're going to go ahead
be
and
on
say,
the agenda.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're in this with you. We're men and women of the people. We're riding with you on this thing. Riding dirty with you on this thing is really what it is.
No way. Yeah, completely.
Why wouldn't you just go ahead and put this thing in there?
Because they know
because they're not going to
do it. Exactly.
Exactly. This is the Stock Act all over again, where members of Congress were allowed to trade.
Insider trading, basically.
Insider trading on knowledge that they have that was unique to their office and situation that nobody else had. And they were allowed to benefit, and many, many have, millions and millions of dollars by investing in things, knowledge they have about government contracts and other things, rules and regulations that are coming. Got to sell that stock because they're going to crack down. Or buy that stock because it's going to go up. The very same things that Martha Stewart went to prison for, they're legally allowed to do. So the Stock Act passes that bans them from doing this because Americans were ticked.
Right, of course, with due right.
And then as they all leave town on a Friday afternoon, technically the House is still in session. They hadn't gaveled it out, but they're all on the road. Eric Cantor, then minority leader, goes to the floor of the House and quickly and quietly asks for a voice vote to repeal part of the Stock Act, allowing, I think it's their family members and
them
staffers.
Them and their family members and staffers.
I think the congressmen, if I remember right, were still exempt. But their family members, like their wives and husbands.
Oh, okay. Cousins.
Right.
Uncle Bob, you know, Nisa Yoda.
That's like, for example, God forbid something happens where I am ever prohibited from owning a firearm.
Okay.
Let's I'm convicted, of course, wrongly of something that would prohibit me from owning a firearm. I would abide by that rule, and I would never own a firearm again. My wife would own a boatload of... I mean, she would have a... Like
your
a,
wife, your son, your mother-in-law.
Right, she would have a cache of weapons in the house. I would not have any of them, mind you. It's kind of like that.
Something sounds a little.
They're not trading on the insider information, but their spouses are. It's kind of like that. So that's what's going on here all over again. They are going to.
They get their own health care.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and for years they had it. It was better than whatever.
Better than what we had to do with.
And now let's add one other little piece of the puzzle. The veterans. What kind of care do they get?
That's probably not even mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Although the veterans today are like, what the hell are you bitching about, Doc? You still don't have VA coverage.
Well, we just talked to a veteran, right? An Army veteran, and he was talking about how, you know, they're trying to fight to have a veteran
hospital here.
Oh, yeah. Did he want to? Was it in Louisville they were looking or right here?
Right here. Okay. And they can't get that. So you tell me you can't build a freaking hospital.
Donating the land.
They gave him the land.
He said, yeah, somebody's donating the land.
So it's not like, hey, here's, you know, give me $1 billion for this land. He's like, a good Samaritan is going out of his way, his or her way, giving the land to the government.
And they can't get it done.
Come on.
So I'm like, the veterans are like, wow, Doc, that Obamacare sounds pretty good. I don't know. That's wait, is Obamacare, they put you on a long wait list and then kill you?
Yeah. No. Well, that sounds better than what I got.
Sounds great. Sign me up. This is the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Zappa tweeted hashtag what I learned today. Quote, I can't get it up, Doc Thompson.
Yeah, I think you did say that. That sounds like something you'd say.
What's in reference to? I mean, I usually say that in the evenings, but I don't know why I said it just now. Do you know what I was...
I can't get it up.
Was our mic up when it shouldn't have been up?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Was it on the air?
I think so.
Kirk, did you forget to press the button again?
It's called Kirk's
I wouldn't doubt it.
I know, that's what I was saying.
Dumb tweeted, hashtag what I learned today. After hearing the crap burger that is the new healthcare bill, I need a drink now, too.
Right, that's what I'm saying, and it's awesome. Did you take a picture, too? Did you tweet out a picture?
Yes, we tweeted out a picture,
Is that the cinnamon? What is that?
No, this is the Lincoln. Brand new Lincoln.
Oh, my gosh. We got to talk to Brent about this.
Oh, so every nice. Lincoln bottle comes with a penny on the cork. And if you look behind you, if you look behind you, there's actually one of the last pieces of the tree from the Lincoln tree.
Oh, the boundary tree from Lincoln.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And then there's four series of the pennies that come on top of the...
of the decorative case that it comes in as well?
No, on top of the actual bottle.
Oh, okay.
One of those. Yeah, it's a four series.
Wow.
We'll talk more with
Miles. We'll talk to Brent about that in just a couple minutes or whatever. Okay, one more piece here to let you know what's going on. So they're still working on in fact, I think they signed it last night, or passed it last night.
The voted on the healthcare bill.
No, the money. $1.1 trillion.
The budget.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The budget, yeah. The healthcare votes today, the budget last night, and we told some of the fails that are in that yesterday. It's just, guys, what's different? I mean, this is not hating on Obama. This is just telling you the truth, guys. Is it better? Yeah. Is a bunch of it still the same? Yeah. Could they easily fix things that you've been upset about the last few years? Yeah. So that's where we're at. An MSNBC panelist and political editor for The Root last night was discussing some of the ideas and things that people like us say about, you know, smaller government, government not being involved in our lives, less healthcare, less control of these things, and had some interesting thoughts about it. Do we have the audio? Here we go.
Principal who really has no curiosity in expanding his knowledge beyond his preconceived.
You want to talk about elitism, right? You want to talk about, oh, is Jimmy coming elite? You're an elite if you don't have to depend on the government at some point in your life. There are sick people out there. There are seniors who need federally funded, you know, cars to take them to and from places. There are people who have student loans. There is cancer research from the NSF that helps people throughout the entire country. So if you can say, I don't care about the government, that must be great and fine for you if you're that rich, and maybe the people in the White House feel that way. But regular people, Republicans and Democrats, realize how stupid this is. I can't wait for them to make this mistake so they get wiped out in 2018. And we can have some competent Republicans and Democrats running the country.
Elise, we could look at this spending bill getting...
So if you don't want the government in your life, you don't need the government, then you're elite? You're an elitist?
Pretty much.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That makes total sense. What do you...
He's like, unless you're rich.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need them.
No.
I mean, and I'm happy to do away with some of those nice little things they do give and the little goodies that people get. I'm willing to forego all of those if they just leave me the hell alone.
Get out of my way.
Right?
Get out of my business.
Right. Let me decide whether or not I want to smoke a cigarette. Let me decide whether or not if I want to have a drink.
If I want to wear a seatbelt.
Right.
If I want to speed.
How I'm going to raise my kids. That's what I want. But if you believe that, you're elite. You're rich enough that you don't need it.
You're rich enough that you don't need the government.
Do you rely on the government a whole lot, Cal?
No,
I mean, we all accept things like roads because that's just...
Yeah, but we pay for those things. I don't think it's relying on them.
Right, exactly. Part of, well, they say, well, that's the government's job.
Okay,
I mean, you do these things. Okay.
I get that. Okay.
So, I mean, aside from stuff like that, government giving you big checks all the time.
No.
You know,
no.
That, So you're rich.
No, not.
You're rich. You're loaded now. Loaded.
No, not by any means.
Huh, then what he said doesn't make a whole lot of sense
there.
No,
that's
mostly. That might be.
We call that bullsh.
There it is. Yeah, that's very closely up there. Yeah. All right, a couple more tweets. Let's see here. From Todd in VB. Congress removing health care exemption will be like Doc Thompson getting those new numbers on procrastination. See, I think he's mocking me on this, and I have those coming up next.
Oh, you
after
you do?
Our next break, yeah.
Really?
Well, wait, we have your app of the week coming up.
I'm willing
right
to, you know what? I'm willing to forego my app of the week okay. if you've got the numbers on procrastination.
We'll do those right after the break, then right before.
We will, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll
all
get
right.
to those coming up.
But hold on. I want the app of the week, though. I can't wait.
We'll get to them both. Don't worry. We got plenty of
time.
Oh,
we got to them both. Okay.
Plenty of time
okay.
this morning.
Okay.
Get them in hashtag what I learned today at Doc Thompson Show at Cal79 and at Real Chris Cruz.
It's funny. Sleeve did it, tweeted hashtag what I learned today. I understand how you confuse Obama for Trump after all. And he tweeted this meme of Trump says orange is the new black.
Get it? Such a get great it. Line. That it was orange and he was black. And whatnot. Yeah. Did you see the new book out about Obama?
I did. I heard
did
about
you know
this.
Coming out? It's funny. There's all of these potentially scandalous things that make him look really, really bad. Like a big drug user, even beyond what we knew. He was cheating on his
infidelities.
Wife. Dating. All of this stuff. But it's funny. It never came out over the last 10
Are
years.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's
did you
weird.
Go back and look?
Yeah. Nobody
okay.
ever had this. It's
I wonder
like,
what's
oh,
different now.
Now let's investigate.
The Morning Blaze
now.
With Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
With Doc Thompson.
Joined by Real Chris Cruz and Cal79 on Twitter, and also Brent, the proprietor, the founder of Boundary Oak.
All of them, yeah. All the above.
All yeah. of those, yes. the chief bottle washer and...
Absolutely.
We've spoken with Brent before, but refresh us. When did you start Boundary Oak Distillery?
We started in 2013.
2013. And why?
That's a great question. In Kentucky, it's almost a rite of passage, I guess. You're not too far or too separated from the bourbon industry in Kentucky. But we had a wonderful piece of property here in central Kentucky, not far from Nelson County, which is really the heart of bourbon country in the United mm-hmm. States. So I had some history on my grandmother's side, so we thought, what the hell?
Yeah, why not do it?
What the hell?
So yeah, if you are a lifelong resident and your family has ties here, somebody in your family has a tie to distilling, right?
Absolutely. You know, you're not too far removed from it when you're here in Kentucky. I guess it would be the same thing in the Napa Valley. You know, people would have
okay.
those same kind of things. But here in Kentucky, you know, with distilling as it's been so long, here for, you know, hundreds of years, it's a lot of people know how to do it. Let's just say that.
You got a great facility here. This is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so some interesting things. So we talked a little bit about the Lincoln a minute ago, but you're going to have to explain. So you have the patent armor diesel, and you have the new Lincoln. These are spirits. These aren't whiskey.
They're not.
What's the difference?
Well, a whiskey has to be a grain based product, and obviously our Lincoln, which is 100% wheat, could probably be considered more of a whiskey than obviously the patent. The patent is a cane spirit aged in whiskey barrels. It's formulated to be like what George Patton drank, as close as we could get it to what he would have.
Because he had a recipe, right?
He did. He absolutely did, and it was a combination of whiskey, scotch, and any spirits he could find really available. But we work to try to get as close to that recipe as we possibly can to try to recreate his armor diesel, what he drank during
it's
World
great.
War II.
Really high quality stuff.
Well, thank you.
And we've shared a little bit with the staff in Texas, not too much because that's how we are. And we've shared with them your Sinful 69, your cinnamon.
Yes.
That's also a specialty spirit, right?
That's all. Yeah, that's okay. also a special spirit.
Really, really high quality.
Well, thank you.
And I think that's one of the differences, too, in today's world. Yeah, I mean, we've got mass-produced things, and that's fine. There's a market for stuff. I think a lot of people, even younger generation, looking for a quality, an authentic, a handmade, a natural, right?
Yeah, there is a difference. There's this craft distilling boom, so to speak, very much like the beer craft distilling that happened quite a few years ago across the United States. Not only myself, but lots of states are getting a lot more craft distillers, but all of them are reproducing products that may have been popular in their areas back even during Prohibition or before Prohibition. So you're getting a lot of authentic Kentucky or authentic products from each state that would have been popular, you know, a long time ago.
You guys got a bourbon coming now?
We do. Our first bourbons, we're going to open that barrel, our very first barrel, on Derby Day.
On Derby Day.
On Derby Day.
Is that it right there? Is
that's
it?
That's it. That's it in the back there. It sure is.
Oh, okay. This is exciting.
Are we here? Are we here?
I've got a drill.
Barrels. Okay. And the wood and like the choosing the wood and how that plays a role in the flavors?
It plays a huge role, and I'm thank
They're
you.
We're sitting under a giant barrel.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's really cool. It's very cool. Decorative barrel, yeah.
Yeah, and this way, you know, we tried to tell the story of the barrel. We think it's the, you know, a lot of people don't understand that the majority of the flavors that comes from bourbon comes from the wood of that barrel. You know, obviously grains make a difference also, but the woods and the barrels and how old the stave is, that piece of wood before they make that barrel, all of that together goes together along with water and temperature and humidity. That's what makes Kentucky so incredibly unique to bourbon. It's because of our temperatures, it's because of our water, it just geographically where we are.
Is it only oak you use?
Only oak.
Is that standard for everybody?
That's standard for everybody. If you're going to make in, you know, Kentucky, bourbon is the United States spirit. It's a spirit that you can produce it anywhere in the United States. But the best obviously comes from Kentucky, and the vast majority of it that's sold is from Kentucky.
And that's, I mean, that is America.
That
I
is
mean, wine people have been making forever, but when you talk bourbon, right, and that's America.
It is our native spirit, it is.
So what makes bourbon different then?
Well, it has to be 51% corn. And there again, it can be produced anywhere, and it has to be in a new charred oak barrel for a minimum of 2 years.
And you char the inside of them, you burn them.
That's
right?
Correct.
And then that also adds to the flavor.
It does. It does a couple things. It adds. It opens up the wood, so to speak. And I think that charcoal also plays a role in taming some of that liquor down over a period of time. But it's that interaction, that magical process between alcohol and wood over time. And then you throw humidity and also, you know, some cool winters, some warm winters. It's that interaction between the elements in that barrel which produces the bourbon.
What do you do with the barrels when you're done? Because you don't reuse them, right?
I was going to ask that. You don't reuse the barrels?
Some barrels can be reused. Obviously, a lot of beer is made in them, but primarily most of these barrels end up overseas in Scotland. They make scotch and use whiskey barrels.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Yeah. Interesting.
What's the average lifespan of a barrel?
Oh, my goodness. Some of them 20. We've seen some 20, 25-year-old barrels just here in Kentucky. And obviously, scotch can be even longer than that. And some of them have to be redone. It's, you know, I've seen barrels look wonderful after 25 years, and I've seen some that look pretty rough. So, but it's amazing. There's nothing that holds these together other than compression of the bands. There's no glue. There's no nails. There's nothing.
And it doesn't leak.
Does the age of a barrel play? Like, does a newer barrel come, you know, give a different flavor from an older barrel that's kind of been, I guess, worn in?
It does. It does. There's it's the magic of the wood. It really is a really neat process.
The beers that they are brewing and then putting in the whiskey or bourbon barrels, so it flavors, those are really good. Have you tried some of those?
Because
there's several right here.
I have, and they're wonderful.
In Kentucky.
Yeah, Altec makes a wonderful one over in Lexington, Kentucky. And barrels and the process, you know, it's an old technology. It's been around since, the 1400s.
So incredible.
Yeah,
it's rediscovered.
It is, and it's just what it does to alcohol and what it does to flavoring, lots of stuff, is just remarkable.
So the name of the distillery, we're in Radcliffe?
Radcliffe, Kentucky.
Radcliffe, Kentucky is Boundary Oak Distillery. The Lincoln spirits that you're making now comes some secretive box, and you were telling us about the Boundary Oak, Lincoln's Boundary. So what is a Boundary Oak, first of all?
A Boundary Oak is just in lots of surveys across the country in the old days, they would use a large oak tree as a marker on between a boundary of property. They knew that oak tree would probably last a lot longer than any pin they would put in the ground. So they would always use it and would delineate it on a survey as a boundary oak marker. the other distillery that we started down the road here had a boundary oak tree, and the water that we use to distill from comes from the bottom of the boundary oak.
Oh.
So we named our distillery after the tree and the water source. Now, Abraham Lincoln, on his birthplace, also had the most famous boundary oak tree in America. It was part of the National Park Service. It since has fell down, but the marker's still there. But it was on Thomas Lincoln's original deed. And so we, in our Lincoln series, the Lincoln Museum so kindly gave us the one of the last pieces of the boundary oak. So each of these have a small piece of the boundary oak tree from Lincoln's birthplace. You know, and what makes it so historic is I know a lot of presidential gavels, a lot of Supreme Court justice gavels, governors of Kentucky's, all officially comes from that tree.
Oh, that's wow, really that cool. Cool. Yeah. And Lincoln was a distiller?
Lincoln was the only president that I know of that had a liquor license.
Oh.
I think in 1833, he had a license to have a bar in New Salem, Illinois.
And he's a Kentucky boy, right?
Kentucky boy, born in this county that right. we sit in now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So the Lincoln is available now, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And you have what states are you in? Kentucky, Ohio. Where else can people get it?
Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and soon in Arizona.
You're working on Texas still?
Working on Texas. Still okay. working on Texas. We'd love okay. to be there.
And that just comes down to making sure you've gone through the official protocol with the states to get a distributor there, right?
That's exactly right. You have to get a license in each state that you go in, and then each state's different.
Yeah.
Each state's completely different.
Wow.
And some states are controlled states, which we sell to the state of Ohio in Ohio, because they're a controlled state. But then you have to, if you're not in a controlled state, then you have to get a distributor to pick you up and help you sell the product to bars.
How much is that costing you, if you don't mind sharing?
Some states are different. Some states is as cheap as a couple hundred bucks, and some states are as expensive. I think Georgia was $1,500. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But they're all different.
And it's a whole process, and you got to make sure you're recouping, you know, as a business that, and you have a plan and whatever. So if people are interested, it's boundaryoak.com?
Boundaryoakdistillery.com.
Okay, boundaryoakdistillery.com. We'll tweet out a link there. And then if you're a distributor, you're in a state, and you say, wow, we'd love to have a great American, what's the patent phrase?
Unapologetically American.
Unapologetically American, which is so wonderful. I mean, that's the attitude. And you'd like to support them, by all means, boundaryoakdistillery.com, and we'll just keep promoting you. And
God
if you're
bless.
In one of the states where it's available, by all means, stop and get a bottle.
Absolutely. Thank
or
you all.
Or two. Or 100, right? Quick break, back with Cal's App of the Week on this, The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Coming to you live from Boundary Oak Distillery in the Commonwealth of Kentucky this morning, heading on to the Kentucky Derby. We'll be from Churchill Downs tomorrow, and Jeff Fisher will be there with his show Saturday morning as well, and we'll have all kinds of other supported materials, videos. We'll
and the four-minute buzz.
Four-minute buzz. Brad
we'll go
will be
there.
With us tomorrow.
Yep.
Can't believe Brad didn't make it in today.
He's texting me. He's like, I regret.
He's
like, I'm regretting the entire plan.
We dug with Brent from Boundary Oak about some of the cool things because distilling is, I mean, it's an art form. It's a science. It's history. And spirits, one of the first or early currencies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It across the country, when you had a new nation that didn't have a unified currency, obviously barrels of bourbon kind of came that way. Part of the reason, of course, George Washington also be a distiller.
Yeah.
He knew the power of alcohol. I think he realized, we don't need to have an alcohol or a liquor become our national currency. So it was the very first product, and I think a lot of that, during the whiskey rebellions of that time, and so history is a huge part of alcohol, and it's a huge part of the, you know, the entire planet, but really is a huge part of America.
A little bit later on, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the business of business today, and some of the things that we need to do, because we're very big, you know, pro-business people, you know,
absolutely
help building America that way as well. And that's the reason we also do Cal's App of the Week.
Cal's App of the Week.
There it is.
Cal.
What do you got, Cal?
So on our way up here, we were watching a bunch of stuff in the car. We had a 12-hour road trip, and we're watching.
Whoa! Do not say what we're watching. That's not safe for air.
Well, one of the things it inspired me for the app of the week, Family Guy. We were watching Family Guy episodes. We're all Family Guy fans, and there's some really cool Family Guy apps out there. There's two games that are out there. One's called Family Guy: The Quest for Stuff. And the other one is called Family Guy, another freaking mobile game. That's what it's called. The quest for stuff is cool. So you're in Quahog, and Peter gets. You have to watch the show to get some of this, but everybody watches Family Guy. So, but Peter gets in a fight with a giant chicken and destroys Quahog, and your job is to rebuild Quahog.
You know that this is a ripoff from the Simpsons game Tap Out.
Well, if you want to compare, I'm more of a Family Guy fan than a Simpsons fan.
And I'm like, the Simpsons. Oh, he's about
it's
to start
like
the Simpsons.
Sim City.
Yeah.
Or the Sims.
Kind of. You know, I'm 125th level on Simpsons Tap Out.
Well, I'm not talking about Simpsons Tap Out here. I'm talking about Family Guy, the quest for stuff.
It just doesn't sound that unique is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh, so what, you're saying Simpsons is better than Family Guy?
No, we're saying your
No, that's what I'm saying.
Unique.
How long has been the Simpsons on air?
I mean, it's interesting, but
how
it's
long
not
has
really
been
unique.
Out?
No, Simpsons. How long has Simpsons been on the air?
Is it like 20,
oh,
it's
the longest running sitcom
28 years.
History.
Yeah.
28 years. Mm. How long has Family Guy been in
So out? Does the Simpsons own the
yes.
property of being a game that plays in the town?
It sounds great, Cal. You don't have to be defensive. It's okay.
I thought we were all fans here.
No, it's
good. You're just killing.
It sounds wonderful. Don't be defensive.
This is a safe zone.
Have another drink.
All I'm saying is, if you're gonna do that, why not do the real, like the good version of it, and then do the
because I'm a Family Guy fan, and we watched Family Guy on the way over. It was a bonding experience with us. And you just ruined it. Forget it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
What?
You just ruined it.
Folks, for the last 24 hours, most of it in a car, this is what has happened.
It's just
Cal
ridiculous.
Says something, Chris challenges him, Cal gets annoyed.
He stops talking.
And then it cycles
then
around again.
And then I go to sleep.
And then it cycles.
And he goes to sleep like a little girl. He's like, I'm not talking to you anymore.
I'm sleeping.
Mom.
I was stuck behind this guy the whole way up, down.
So is this available on all platforms?
It's available on all platforms. It is a free game. And it's one of those freemium games where the game is free, but to play in the game, you know, the more you play, you're going to spend a little money when you want to, like... I mean, you can play it for free and not spend money, but if you want to kind of speed up the process, you can... Oh, I'm like level 3. I just kind of started on the way over here. What?
Oh, wait, you're level 3, so you found this app on the
drive
over?
On the
drive
over.
I told
here.
You I was inspired by it.
Yeah,
what?
Inspired. More like, oh, crap, see, I forgot.
No, I had other apps, but
I've
this one inspired
that
me.
He's been researching these, like, for the week. Like,
I've been researching it for the past 24 hours. I was playing it. Is that a problem?
Yes.
Is there a problem with that?
Okay,
big fail.
It sounds weak, I'm just saying.
But you can be a part of the whole town.
No,
you can, like,
great.
Go to the...
Good job, Cal.
You
know, once again,
Cal
James Wood High,
on Twitter,
the Founding Father Restaurant,
Cal's
like
app
Burger
of the week.
Town.
You failed us. Once again.
Cal's
you can
app
be...
Of the week?
Yeah.
Yes. You can be Peter Griffin. You can play as Meg.
Sounds fantastic.
Good job. You know what?
Nice job, buddy.
Good job. Round of applause.
I'm picking up on your cynicism and sarcasm.
Good job.
No, not at all.
All I'm saying is...
You're just as good as everybody else.
Yeah,
I am.
Good job.
No. Don't
good
think
job.
You're not.
Never appreciated. No.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Live from Boundary Oak Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky. We're heading down to the Kentucky Derby this weekend, so we figured what better place to be than Foundry Oak Distillery.
Yeah, let's go where the booze and the gold people are.
Okay, it's not gold people. It's Fort Knox. You
know, the more I talk about the gold people, I just want to say, Cal, you failed us today.
How did I fail?
May the 4th be with you.
I was going to bring it up.
No, you did not bring it. You nerd. You didn't even know it.
I was going to say...
You know, where's that from?
Have you celebrated the national holiday? This is a national holiday. It's May the 4th. May the 4th be with you from Star Wars.
It's not a holiday.
It is a holiday. It's
for the nerds like Cal that go to comic book.
Oh,
you're lucky I came to work. I usually take this day off.
Okay. I see Sleeve did it tweeting, hey, may the 4th be with you at the meme. Cappy did too. Okay, these a lot of nerds. I didn't realize.
I didn't know our audience was that much of a loser.
I didn't realize.
We're a strong community, and we prefer the term force sensitive, not nerds. Thank you very much.
Is that the political correct phrase?
Did I just trigger you?
Yes,
I think you did get triggered. All right, let's just move on and get to the headlines, okay?
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
Well, first of all, let me say that I am jealous that I'm not there.
You should be. Trust me, you should.
We miss you, Brad.
Yeah. You would be so impressed. The smell alone, Brad, is heavenly, especially in your advancing years. you would really love this.
I'll hop the next plane out this afternoon. We started.
And by the way, Brad,
yes.
Everything tastes fantastic.
Did you try the Lincoln?
I just tried three different whiskeys.
At 7 a.m.
Well, spirits. Those
spirits.
Whiskey.
Sorry, spirits.
Those ones, yeah. You tried the Lincoln.
Yeah. Actually, I did the research. It is 5 o'clock in Kyrgyzstan.
Yes. Okay. Kyrgyzstan. All right. Yeah.
Oh, we're on Kyrgyzstan time. Okay. Yes. I didn't know. Okay,
how can you drink all day if you don't start in the morning?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Starting in Mississippi, a gay man has sued a funeral home there for refusing to cremate his husband.
Why are they not cremating his husband?
Well, he's saying that the crematory said that they would not deal with their kind, quote unquote, and they're suing for emotional distress and breach of contract.
They're worried they'll get the gay or something? That seems really...
Well, you know, once you burn a gay person, the gay particles just go into the air.
All over, and you might infect everybody.
You might infect everybody, yep.
Yeah, this story's on the Blaze, and we'll tweet the link. This is, I think there's more to this
You thought it was just gay wedding cakes, and now it's also gay funerals and crematories.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's kind of, this is where we're at. This is the new
Well, you have to draw the line somewhere, you know?
Yeah,
we live in a very strange time, folks.
Pretty crazy.
Very strange time.
Pretty crazy. Our Academy Award winner this morning from Washington, D.C., a cruel health care bill will bring death, pain, and suffering, according to Cory Booker.
Yes, Cory Booker. That's a guy who's going to give it to you straight.
He's not being dramatic or anything.
No, not at all.
And the winner is. And this is a very important consumer announcement from Hawaii. Frozen ahi sold on Oahu tests positive for hepatitis A.
The fish got the hepatitis?
Yes.
Those sick bastards.
Were they using positive singles?
I know it was the fish. It was a fish hookup single.
Is that a new tab on the app?
Yeah, it's the fish to the fish section.
For a minute, I thought you were just handing me coffee.
Oh, no, that's not coffee.
He handed me coffee, Brad.
Well, it wasn't. I'm betting it wasn't coffee, knowing Chris.
It was coffee.
Was it coffee?
But it was a special coffee. It's not like the special coffee he normally gives me with roofies.
Have some coffee with your bourbon.
This actually has...
Yeah, no, the roofie, that's tonight.
Some spirits.
That's tonight. Okay, yeah, that's tonight.
And I will say that with the slight reverb, you all sound like you're speaking to me from heaven.
It's Brad, heaven. This is the voice of God.
What happened to
Why
you?
Why are you not here? We miss you.
God, I'll be there very, very soon. From Wichita, a woman with terminal cancer has been jailed over medication in her system. Guess which medication?
Marijuana.
Gotta be the pot.
Cocaine.
THC. And they jailed her because the doctor basically prescribed it to her, but they say it's illegal.
So she has terminal cancer, and she tried the marijuana.
Medical marijuana,
and they arrested her because it's in her system.
Yeah, yes.
She tested positive?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Fail.
Yeah, let's go ahead and crack down on her. Let's go ahead and crack down on the
She is the reason that this country is going down the drain.
Listen here, lady. We know you've only got a couple of months left, but we're going to make sure you pay.
You know what?
Those
Do not use
months.
This cancer thing, okay? You need
no
to
excuse.
Pay. No.
everybody has to pay.
Yes.
Wow, what a failure.
I know, right? I'm telling you. By the way, Chris, sorry about Puerto Rico declaring bankruptcy yesterday.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
What happened?
What are you saying that? He's Cuban.
It doesn't matter.
He's not. Okay, first of all, I'm Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican? Oh, okay.
We had this conversation in the freaking car. Okay.
Your money's no good here. Stop trying to pay us in pesos.
Yo. What is that, lira? You're not Italian.
Are those
pounds? You're Mexican. What is that?
From across.
Get out of here with that.
I can't. I'm done.
Yes.
I'm out.
That's a good idea. Across the. From across the pond. Oh, I wish I was there so badly. So very, very badly. From England, father drinks his daughter's breast milk. To help beat
how old she
is. She,
wait, there was wait, there was a reason.
Yes, okay. There was a to help beat bowel cancer.
Is
did it work?
He's still alive. He was diagnosed in 2015.
Ooh,
yeah.
This doesn't sound so much like a scientific.
We found the cure.
Okay, this sounds more like somebody coming up with an excuse after being a creeper.
I just have a question. Is it the breast milk for a little kid, or did he milk his
dog? Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming she just gave it to him.
What did you think? Was it breast milk for a little kid?
I mean, yeah, of course, or did he milk his daughter?
I mean, did she?
Well, doesn't she have to be pregnant to produce?
Yes.
Breast milk?
No, you could have the pump though. And did she pump it for that? Or okay, this is
very odd. But he's still alive.
You're cut off now, Chris. You're cut off. You know what? Let me get a break in here, and we're gonna come back and talk with Colonel Weaver. Okay, let me get a break in and. Wow, I'm sorry, Colonel. I'm sorry you had to witness this display.
It's funny because everybody in the audience can't hear what we're hearing, so they're just here to say, breast milk. Was it his breast milk?
Was it his dog?
Was it his milker? Okay. Is he alive?
It doesn't get any better if you can hear the rest of the show. Yeah. Quick break, back with more on this The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
From Boundary Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky. And joining us now is Colonel Mike Weaver, the mayor of Radcliffe. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
Colonel Mike Weaver, colonel in the Army?
Army. Armored Cav.
Army. How long did you serve?
34 years.
Thank you for your service,
sir. First of all, sir, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. The colonel was telling us an interesting story that he has an idea, and there's some other people in the area that are working on a plan to help the VA, help fix the VA, where you want to do a public-private partnership for a hospital here? Is that, did I explain it the right way?
Yes, that's correct.
How would that work, and what have you got? What have you accomplished so far?
Well, I think you have to go back to how we got involved in this in the first place. I have to get serious with you for just a minute.
Please do.
I know you have a lot of levity here also, yeah. But... I spent 2 years in a combat zone, and I am very familiar with what it's like to carry a wounded soldier off the battlefield. And I'm very familiar with the kind of care that those soldiers are going to need for the rest of their life. And I think with the system that we have now, the way we're building VA hospitals, we're wasting a whole lot of money, money that, in my opinion, is dedicated to the veteran, and it's going to the wrong place. And I think there's fraud, waste, abuse, greed, inefficiency.
And those stolen funds, wasted funds, all of that are funds that should have gone to veterans.
Those are funds that should have been used. For instance, we now have 22 veterans a day committing suicide. And a good number of those are female veterans. We have PTSD. We have traumatic brain injury. We have all kinds of combat-related injuries. And any time you take any money away from that system, you're taking it away from the veterans that need to care.
You're hurting veterans.
You're hurting...
That's the best way to say it. What combat zone were you in?
I was in Vietnam. I fought both times around Pleiku and Bong Son, and I was in the first Cav in a Cav unit the first time, and in the 173rd Airborne the second time.
What goes through your mind now when you see these guys coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, especially the ones with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries?
Well, there's always been PTSD, and but there hasn't been as much traumatic brain injury because the medical system and the evacuation off the battlefield is so efficient today that we're saving a lot of lives that wouldn't have been saved in previous wars.
People would have just died, and now
they would have died,
they come home, but they have some other challenges.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the hospital you want to build here, and I loved your idea. It certainly has some merit that we should be exploring, where you would partner with the VA and the private sector would partner with the VA to build the hospital.
Well, if you don't mind, let's take a look at the hospital in Aurora, Colorado. They call it the Denver Hospital.
Oh yeah.
That was less than $600 million when they first started on it.
What was the proposed budget for, like 400 or?
No, the proposed budget, agreement that they had with the contractor was $604 million.
Which was pretty high for a hospital that size.
I think that's way too high for a hospital.
Because you could probably do that for $400 or $500 million and save, right?
You look at a hospital in Owensboro, Kentucky, which was completed in 2013. It's a 400-bed hospital. It's $358 million.
Okay, so it was generous what they were going to spend.
It was very generous. Okay. $604 million is very generous.
And how did that turn out?
Well, we get to the 15th of March 2015. They're 14 months behind schedule, and the price has ballooned to $1.73 billion. That's $1.126 billion over budget.
It's $1 billion over budget on something that was already inflated at $600 million.
Yes, that's exactly how I see it.
And if you had come to me and said, Doc, I've got this plan and we're saving veterans and it's going to cost us $1 billion or whatever, I would say, great, fine, wonderful, let's do this. But they're not the ones getting the money.
No,
getting the services from the money.
When you're talking about $1.126 billion, you have to be talking about fraud, waste, abuse, greed, incompetence, inefficiency.
So you have to ask, where'd the money go, right?
Where did the money go? And no one is held accountable for this.
Wow. That's got to infuriate you.
So I take a look at this, and we have a hospital that's supposed to be built in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
It's now 11 years in the process. And 5 years ago, the VA purchased 34.5 acres of land at a place called Brownsboro Road. If you go back and trace and look at the money, they paid at least $3 million too much for the land, and probably $8 million, because over an eight-year period of time, a $5 million investment on that land ballooned to $13 million. So whoever owned the land made $1 million a year on the property. The VA, Veterans Administration Inspector General, looked into that and said they may have paid $3 million too much. But there's no one held accountable for that. There's no one's foot held to the fire for spending that kind of money.
But there's the accountability, and we just had Hillary Clinton, by the way, yesterday, said they asked her about the election, and the short story is she's like, I'm absolutely responsible, my name on the ballot. But it was James Comey, blah, blah, blah. And we had heard Obama and politicians and people say this. They go, the buck stops here. But they just say it. There's never any punishment or accountability or consequences. So to your point about the hospital, if they're overpaying, the inspectors general always put these out, but there's never the person or persons held accountable. There's no punishment.
If you are a soldier and you have an IG, an inspector general comes in and does an inspection of your unit, you are held accountable. That's the kind of accountability I expected out of the VA IG, and their wording is may have paid $3 million too much. And then when you get the verbiage where it is answered by the VA, it's all in a cloud. It makes absolutely no sense. And no one in their right mind would accept this kind of an answer for spending $3 million too much, except no one's held accountable for that. That's not the way an IG should work. It shouldn't be may have spent $3
million. It should be did.
You spent $3 million too much,
right.
A minimum. Why did you do that? And who is going to be held accountable?
And what is
and,
that accountability?
And that didn't right. happen. Now, you take it a step further than that. They've owned that piece of property now for 5 years. The VA hospital should have been built in 3. They have spent $50 million in purchasing the land and doing the studies, and not a shovel of dirt has been turned.
That's in Louisville.
Okay. Also in Louisville, it's only 34 acres, and it's right on the Waterston Expressway.
Okay.
So if you are a veteran and you're there, and let's say you have PTSD, or you have some kind of a physical injury and you're being treated, I think it is important to have a serene area to be in, because I think your mental condition has a whole lot to do with your recovery.
And by the way, a lot of younger veterans are telling us that. They keep saying, stop giving us the drugs and give us some other things that, you know, to other non-traditional treatments like serene settings, service animals,
yes.
stuff like that.
But if you look out at the Waterston Expressway and all you see is concrete, no place for trees, no place for expansion, you put all that together, it's the wrong place, it's the wrong time, and it should never be built there. Not only that, but they've decided now in the latest study that they released just last Friday, but that's where they're going to build a hospital. It'll never be built there. It'll never be built there because the people in the community do not want it there. It'll be tied up in litigation for at least 3 years. If you go with a public-private partnership and go with the 50 free acres that we're giving in Radcliffe, this hospital can be built at less than they have allocated for it to be built. It can be built in 3 years, and it will be to the specifications of the VA, and it will not go over budget.
So you have the land, and is it city or county land?
It's city land.
So the city of Radcliffe is saying, we've got this land, you come and build this here, we can do it in 3 years, we can do it cheaper here, and you're ready to start a lot sooner than they...
Land already been... and the land is on a pastoral setting. It's a very serene area.
We're going to take a look at...
Well, when you're doing that, just visualize the hospital place on that wall, mm-hmm. that you would have trees planted around it, and you would have bushes planted around it. And in this part of Kentucky, at certain, well, today I can go out to my house, which is just around the corner here, mm-hmm. and I'll probably find the 8 turkeys that walk through the Grant land every morning.
Awesome.
You'll see a fox from time to time, and you'll see a deer and with a fawn walking through. All of that is part of healing, in my opinion, and you can't heal that way in an area that is already congested, and all you look at is concrete. I think that's absolutely wrong, and the only reason they're building it there, in my opinion, is because somebody made an enormous amount of money off of it, and somebody is going to make a whole lot more money. They have allocated, they say that this hospital will cost $925 million now, so let's call it $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That hospital should not cost $1 billion. Mm-hmm. It will cost less, but if the VA builds that hospital, they will do the tradition, do the same thing that they did in Colorado, the same thing in Los Angeles, the same thing in New Orleans, and the same thing in Orlando. They will all go over budget, and somehow they get the money to go over budget. That should be that's the wrong way to do it. We need to change the model. We need to do it this way with a public-private partnership. We can build it for less money. We can build it on time, and that needs to become the model.
Colonel, stay with us 1 second. I want to ask you one more question. We're going to get a break, and we're back with more with Colonel Mike Weaver, the mayor of Radcliffe, Kentucky.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from Boundary Oak Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky, and we're speaking to the mayor of Radcliffe, Colonel Mike Weaver, who served 34 years in the United States Army about some different ways that maybe we could do things to fix the VA. And of course, we always use the hashtag fix the VA if you've got any of their ideas. I like the choice program that they've come up with, where veterans will be able to go get health care elsewhere just by using the card, and they'll be taken care of. I think that empowers them. I still think there needs to be a level of accountability at the Veterans Administration that doesn't exist. Hopefully, President Trump's recent changes will help that accountability. I hope there's more. But tell me how the hospital would work here in the private and public partnership, if you want to call it that, that you've been working on.
Well, first of all, Doc, I think if we could get to the President of the United States or the Vice President of the United States and tell them what we're trying to do.
You think they'd like this?
I think they would. I mean, absolutely love it.
He's a businessman and he's a contractor, right?
Yes.
He built things.
Yes.
I think he would completely get the idea.
And I think he has talked about going back to some public-private partnerships.
It's
I think he's
throughout history, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned to me off the air the Transcontinental Railroad, right?
The Transcontinental Railroad, both ends of it were built with private equity. It wasn't called a public-private partnership.
It was just
But just think about it. That's how the country was developed.
Right.
That's how the Golden Gate Bridge was built. It wasn't a VA-type contract with people who have never built a bridge before. It was people with experience that built it.
It would almost be as if the city who donated the land gets the plans and contractors together, and you would build the facility, and then at that point turn it over to the VA, and they would pay for it. Is that how
that's
you would see
that's,
it?
That's exactly
how them setting up a contractor and going through all of that.
Well, if we look at the VA hospital, it's supposed to be built. I call it a regional hospital here in Kentucky. They have estimated that it's going to cost $925 million to build it. Well, that's actually $1 billion, and if they built it, it would go over budget and it would go over time. If you go with a public-private partnership, and we have some very smart people that are working on this, we have a doctor in Elizabethtown who has a vision of what could happen here medically, and he reminds us from time to time that the Mayo Clinic was built in a cornfield, and people came to it.
Right, and it builds up around there.
And the same thing would happen here. But he has gotten together some private equity people, some very smart people who have been very successful in this. They tell me that they can raise the money to build this hospital in less than a month.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
So that's public-private. That's public money, a private money coming into
right.
it. And they think that this hospital will be much cheaper than $925 million. Certainly way below $1 billion, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $600 million to give them everything that they want.
That's amazing. And you're not far off a highway here either. I mean, you're fairly close, so it's not like you're driving, although it's a serene setting
out
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you look at where we are right now. We're on Highway 313, which connects right. I-65 and I-64. Just down the road here, a few hundred feet, is 31W that comes from Louisville right through here.
And obviously Fort Knox.
So you have the Bluegrass Parkway, right. The Western Kentucky Parkway, all of that right here. So the road network to get here is perfect. And you also have, because of the road network, we have Veterans Cemetery Central located here. We have Fort Knox located here. We have a new veterans nursing home, 120-bed nursing home that will open probably next month. All of that is here because of the road network and because of the concentration of veterans. There are 16,500 veterans in Hardin County alone. If you look at the counties that touch Hardin, it's 35,000. If you look at Jefferson County, there are over 50,000. But the majority of them on the West End, they could use 31W and be here quicker than they can get to Brownsboro Road. It just makes sense.
That's something logical. Well, we're gonna do what we can to help you out, and we have a couple of ideas coming up this fall that we haven't talked about on the air yet, but if it does, we're going to help you out. But, Colonel, I have to ask you about something else, and I don't want to put you on the spot here too much, but did I hear right that you were awarded 5 Bronze Stars?
4.
4. That is amazing and powerful.
That is 4 more than I have.
Well, and you know what? That's 4 more and military service beyond what Yeah, what I have. You served. I did not.
Yeah, I came close, but no, nothing.
Yeah, I understand that.
But anybody who's been awarded decorations for valor, they should be very humble about that, because anytime you're awarded a decoration, there are so many other people that made a sacrifice for you to get that.
Yeah, and I understand that. I just wanted the audience to recognize that and understand your commitment. And you use the VA medical, right? You get your medical through the Veterans Administration?
I am 78 years old. After 65, you have Medicare. And if you're a retiree, you have TRICARE for life. Okay. You put those two combinations together, and I pay nothing for health care. But I choose to use, because I'm a soldier for life, I choose to use it. That means I go to the veteran clinic called the SOC, Community-Based Patient Clinic, and the one that I use is here at Fort Knox. And then that feeds me into the Veterans Hospital in Louisville for any care that I need. I use that because I'd like to see how other veterans are being treated, and the only way to judge that is be a part of it.
All right. Mike, the mayor of Radcliffe, you let us know what you need to do, Kenna.
Well, you are tremendous. Thank you very much.
All right, so let me get a quick break back with this morning.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, got some interesting tweets coming in right now. By the way, it's Doc Thompson and Cal and Chris, and we got celebrity chef Patrick Mosier and a whole bunch of other people live from Boundary Oak Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky. David tweeting, Mayor opening a massive can of whoop-ass on the Department of Veterans Affairs and their treasonous
You
behavior.
Do not want to mess with this, Colonel.
I don't think you want to either. He's right. He's got the information. So you're right, David. And then JR15 tweeting, it doesn't take a genius to realize that this VA hospital would be an amazing asset to Central Kentucky.
I don't understand why he's tweeting. He's right next to
us.
Yeah,
that JR15, guy, right? You're right here.
Who is that guy?
You could have just said, hey, guys, doesn't take a genius. Here's what I learned.
Well, sometimes it takes more than a genius to realize where you're at.
No, that's true. I appreciate the tweet as well. So, okay, Chris, you've set us up. Is it Christine who set us up?
I set you guys up with the Lincoln.
Okay, we're going to sample the Lincoln here.
Are you guys ready?
Chef, you ready?
One, two,
okay, here we go.
Cheers.
Ooh, that's nice. This is the Lincoln Specialty Spirits at Boundary Oak. This is...
I just went to the back and look at the barrels. Ooh. There's about like $1 million in barrels alone.
Listen. Quiet,
I think I failed. Hang on a second.
Hang on.
Walked up. They're not paying attention right now.
Pull the car around.
Out of the back.
I got the code.
Oh, okay. We'll just
How'd
be back tonight.
How'd you get
tonight.
The code?
Ixnay on the OK. Ixnay on the OK. Chef, what'd you think? I like the kind of buttery. That's what I really like.
Yeah, it's not too sweet, but it's got enough sweetness and caramel in there that it's. Yeah, I think that's a good sipping.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. Yeah, JR just like took half the bottle in one shot.
I think his cup's got a hole in it. It's at the top though. Yeah. That's the problem.
I did taste it. It was really good.
And that's what I like. I like the quality spirits like this where you have that real strong flavor up front. It's not just the heat from the alcohol.
Right.
I mean, listen, if you want to take moonshine, that's great. Right? I mean, moonshine's great for what it is.
Yeah, and moonshine it burns all the way down.
Right. Moonshine doesn't have a ton of flavor, but that's not its job. Mm-mm. Right? That's not why you're drinking
moonshine
usually.
Unless it's one of the dessert moonshines.
Right.
But
dessert moonshines, especially ones, are different. If you're talking traditional, you know, you got some guy who has no fingerprints left because he's had hand in corn mash his whole life. That's a little bit different, right? But if you're doing something like, if you want something like the Lincoln, that's what you want. You want the caramel flavors up front. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A little heat as it goes down, but it doesn't linger too long.
It's not like molten lava down your throat.
Right, exactly.
That's what I liked about their Sinful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good because the cinnamon flavor stops, the burn stops in the throat. It doesn't go all the way down.
Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of cinnamon spirits, but
neither am I.
Very, very good.
I said the same thing, and when they had sent us a bottle of the cinnamon to try, and of course we're sitting at the Radio Ranch in Dallas, Mercury Studios, and It was kind of after hours, and there's about a dozen of us around. We're like, all right, let's try this. Right. No one's around. There's no management type around. So we bust open the bottle and try it. It was, I was kind of skeptical because I've had cinnamon spirits in the past, and it's cheap tasting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, it's candy cheapy for the masses. And I was like, I didn't care for it. It's okay. But that was years ago. So I was like, all right, I'll try the sinful. Instead, I was like, okay, this is different. I didn't realize the quality level.
It even smells richer. You know, it's like a white rum versus an aged rum. It has a richer, deeper aroma that's not all cinnamon, right?
Mm-hmm. This is solid. Have you ever been here, JR15?
I have not. I've driven past it many times. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it was here.
Yeah.
Sad to say. I'm not trying to insult anybody.
Right.
But, no, I had never stopped by.
Interesting, too. And, boy, the colonel, the mayor, really gets it, not just about the VA, but he's a very smart guy about how this all works. And I think the role of government and private, because the facility we're sitting in, Boundary Oak Distillery, this building is owned by the city.
And did he tell you what their lease terms are?
No.
They lease it to him for $100 a year. And he apparently, so I briefly had a conversation with the mayor, and he was located somewhere out in the country. He was looking to move in closer.
Boundary Distillery.
Yeah, Boundary Distillery.
Yeah, they were down the road a little bit.
And they actually solicited him to make sure that someone of a quality, you know, production facility got this.
Right. This was a facility they built for something else that wasn't being used then or utilized as much as they had wanted it to or the way they wanted it to. So they had this facility, and it's smart. You're the mayor. You go, we've got this empty facility. We want to lease it to somebody. We've got somebody who is producing something that is likely going to raise revenue, jobs, and taxes for our community. And it's interesting because the county is a dry county. The city is not.
The city's wet.
The city is wet. So, he said it's different in every state on how that works. I mean, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, cities are not within counties. They are their own entity. You're either a city or a county. Here and in Ohio, another place where I grew up, the city is within a county. So you have these different rules. But it was smart for him. So it is a beautiful facility. Boundary Oak gets a show place as well. And by the way, we'll do a Facebook Live coming up in about 10 minutes. Just go to Facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show. You'll be able to see a bunch of it. We've been on Periscope this morning. We'll have some other videos. You can see it's beautiful. But it's also a crown or a gem in the crown of the county then, right? They also get the show place to...
One of the distilleries in general that are coming out now, these right. smaller boutique distilleries, and they're going to come out with their first bourbon. Well, they're batching,
they're going to
tap it Saturday, but it's not coming out for a while yet. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that. And then the next one after that's going to be an 11 year aged. That's the next Lincoln to come out is 11 years.
So here's my question: did they start it 11 years ago? Or do we have to wait?
No, I don't.
I always wonder about the patience to like sit there and wait and not open it. You know?
Okay, because I got
to
tell you, I would lie. Right.
It's just been 11 years. It's been 11 years.
You see those locks?
Doc,
on the
it's been 6 weeks.
There? Well, they keep very meticulous track.
Yeah,
of
they
how long
do.
It's been
but
aged.
See, it's also Doc time because I'm really impatient. So it's not really a lie. It's not actually 11, but in Doc time, it's like 20 years. This 20-year scotch, we started it Tuesday.
It's 420 somewhere.
Right, exactly. Right.
Oh, wait, that's not happy.
It's been
no,
20
that's
years
extra
somewhere.
Happy
right, exactly. So we don't know where they're at on that one, though, if it's coming out in 11, or did he mention?
No, I didn't ask, but okay. I'm just anxious for their first batch of real bourbon to come out.
That's going
to
be good. So Celebrity Chef Patrick Mosier, it's at FoodBizPro on Twitter or FoodBizPro.com. He came along in this ride because this is a stop on the bourbon tour and wanted to see the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, he is somebody who is in and around the food and spirits industries all the time. So you're always interested to learn and
everything in moderation as frequently as possible, Doc.
That's his motto. Yeah. That's his motto. So what are we doing? See, everybody thought we were just traveling with a chef.
Yeah, and
okay,
we were pretty much
traveling with the chef.
What was great is when we woke up this morning, I didn't have to cook breakfast. Chris already had eggs made.
I know. What about that? That's pretty legit.
Yeah, after 2 hours of sleep, I don't know how I handled it.
Does McDonald's count as eggs made?
He was scraping them off the McMuffins all morning, right? So, Patrick, what are we doing for lunch, man? And we got to check out some local fare. Do you
Can
have some
we pick
ideas?
The place this time? Because yesterday, you know,
damn it,
we didn't really get to pick the place.
All right, I have to say, we had very, very good ribs. at
Blue City in Memphis.
Blue City Cafe. Blue
we'll tell that story coming up after the top of the hour when I can defend myself properly from these.
But we're gonna hit a couple of local restaurants here. We're trying to find some hidden gems and highlight some of their food and fun and the history behind those restaurants. And then tomorrow, we're actually going to Cincinnati. We're going to go to the Mercantile Library and then hit a couple of restaurants there. The Mercantile Library has one of the best collections, special collections of cookbooks that are regional across the country. So that's going to be really fun.
Patrick and I have been talking recently. We're fascinated by the regional cuisines and the regional cookbooks because every community in America throughout the ages has had dozens and dozens of cookbooks created from the local women's auxiliary of the Methodist Church.
The Junior League
or the PTA in 1972 put out their cook, whatever it is for their region.
Three bean dip.
Yeah.
Everything from the beef stroganoff to the jello molds of the 70s. Right.
Right. And that goes all the way back, I mean, into the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to... And the Mercantile Library has a bunch of those.
Absolutely. We're going to actually meet with the Director of Special Collections and have a little chat with him and then... look and see what we can't find.
So food and booze, folks. Yes, we slickered him again.
That's what it's all about.
Edit that out so
don't
hear that.
I'll talk
Make
about
sure
that.
Glenn doesn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. Doc Thompson, Cal, and Chris, along with celebrity chef Patrick Mosier and our buddy JR15 on Twitter at the Boundary Oaks Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky, heading down to the Kentucky Derby this Saturday.
L'chaim.
We'll be at Churchill Downs tomorrow.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
I learned today. We got Handy Andy tweeting at us. Radio from the bottom of an empty Sour Mash vat while drinking is not exactly Marconi quality.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is
this is
top
like
of the line
best
here.
Radio show we've done.
I wouldn't say. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That might be the liquor talking, but okay, I'm going to go ahead and ride with you. I think it's just easier at this point.
Spying Duck tweeted, "It's not even 8 a.m. yet. You guys are going to have hangovers by 5.
Oh, no. That'll be like noon.
It'll be a lot sooner than that.
Yeah, it's we've had a considerable amount to drink this morning, Chris.
Yes, you have Frank and PA. If you're tuning into the Morning Blaze, it's just alcohol talk helping white Puerto Rican and an Egyptian man broadcast since 2017.
It does. It's that extra little kick you need in the morning. It's been coffee's been replaced. Stinky Tweet introducing the new Cal's Watched Pot Bourbon. Watch pot.
You know what? I'm upset. I'm really upset.
What are you upset about?
We traveled what, 13 hours?
Sure.
Cal has not had one sip.
Cal doesn't drink.
Okay, someone's got to be sober to drive.
That's a failure.
Why is that? What?
That's
I'm not letting you
why
drive after this.
Designated driver. Leave him alone.
You
leave
know
alone.
Why? No, you know,
Cal,
get
you
this, Bob.
Drive.
No,
you
no,
go.
No, no, no.
You know what? We're
let
very,
me get that. Let me get that. No,
we're very. For you. We have a great deal of respect for you.
We do.
Cal, for not.
We do.
That's
you know
good
what?
For you.
You know,
good
big
for you.
Cheers. Big cheers mm-hmm. to you. Okay.
Sounds,
meanwhile, Chef Patrick is laid out in the front.
Is that what he's doing?
He's splayed out in the lobby.
I was wondering where he was.
Wait a minute. He's crawling back over to the microphone now.
Sorry, guys.
Did you broke into the moonshine?
What moonshine? There's none left. All I'm saying is I'm going to be drinking in the back seat while someone else is driving.
Do they have a kitchen here?
Yes. No kitchen. Sorry. Just
they
a fridge.
They probably have a dining area without full kitchen.
Like a kitchenette?
Mm-hmm. Without,
well, we haven't gone through those shows yet.
Cook some breakfast.
I was going to say, maybe scamper on down to the kitchenette
scamper.
There.
Well, there's a double door there.
Scamper.
Yeah. Some French toast with bourbon sauce.
Exactly, there it is. Mm. I got a quick tell you about Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory that's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. If you don't know it, most pain body is a symptom of inflammation. And if you're taking some sort of painkiller, it's just masking the problem. It's not actually dealing with the inflammation. Relief Factor was created to give people their lives back by reducing that inflammation naturally and safely, which it's done for me. It's done for Cal, Chris, at the Blaze, Brad, Keith, all kinds of people here at the
Even
Blaze.
Even Patrick.
Even Patrick used it as well. And, you know, I was telling you, I used it for my sciatic. Sciatic got better. A month or two down the road, everything's fine. They started having some problems the other day. Start taking the Relief Factor. And again, it usually takes a couple days in your system. Boom. I'm dealing with it again. So
we'll try see if it handles hangovers as well, too.
Hopefully it does. I think it does
well there, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Isn't hangover just inflammation of your...
I think it's inflammation
in your blood.
Of everything, I think so. And this is why Chris isn't a doctor. You could try a Relief Factor. It's the all-natural, easy way to deal with the inflammation in your body. Get a three-week quick start pack for only $19.95. Most new users see results 7 to 10 days. Mine was 4 to 5 for the sciatic. Call Relief Factor 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. So I say, as we get in the car yesterday morning, hey, we're driving from Texas across Arkansas, across Tennessee, and then into Kentucky. Hey, we got Chef Patrick with us. Let's try to get some local grub somewhere. And I said, you know, there's a couple of big cities like Little Rock. We got Memphis. We got Nashville. Do you guys want to stop along the way?
I don't remember it quite like that.
I don't remember like that either.
I don't remember
and it. And suggested, hey, we'll stop somewhere.
Strongly suggested.
Nobody's really hungry right now. We'll be in Memphis about dinner time. How's that sound? Yeah, sure. I suggest that I had been to Blues.
Strongly suggest.
Blues City Barbecue at the top of Beale Street in Memphis before, and they have really good barbecue. Patrick says they also have Rendezvous. And I said, you know, I've had the Rendezvous. It's not as good. I said, you look it up on Yelp. It gets lower stars. I said, but whatever you guys want, wherever. I threw out other suggestions along the way. But somehow, we end up there, and I'm to blame because you guys didn't order barbecue and didn't enjoy your meal.
Wait. I ordered barbecue and enjoyed my meal.
That's right. Chris doesn't order barbecue.
He got fried chicken.
It was fried tenders.
We both had fried chicken.
We had
the
chicken.
Tenders,
yeah. Well, first of all,
Chris is like, yeah, it was okay.
Can I tell the real version of the story?
I
had the chicken because my partner in crime, Cal, had the chicken. I didn't want him to be...
He wasn't having the pork ribs.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we went through this yesterday. You ordered first,
No.
Yeah.
See, from my understanding of the Muslim culture, they're not allowed to have red meat.
There was catfish, though.
The Muslim culture. They're not allowed to have red meat. Yeah, the Muslim.
I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to stand with my brother, and I'm just no red meat.
Puerto Rico?
And boom.
But there was catfish on the menu, though.
That's wrong, first of all. I don't know what the Muslims are, but the Muslims can eat red meat. Yeah, we can eat it.
It's the other white meat,
yeah,
right?
The only other white meat is the pork.
The pork,
we don't eat the pork.
So, if I recall, I even one last time was right in there. I said barbecue, and Chris goes, no, I want barbecue.
No, it goes like this.
Did he not say he wanted barbecue?
I said, I like barbecue, and I like barbecue because I want the barbecue that's sloppy, and I just got it all over my face.
Okay. But you even said it. Now, if you were standing with your Muslim non-red meat-eating failure of a concept buddy, Cal here, you would have said, hey, Doc, we don't have to go to the barbecue. We can go anywhere else. You could have thrown that out.
But what you said, Doc, was, hey, guys, you guys down to stop at Memphis? Yeah, sure, sounds good. Great, we're going to go to Music City. What was it called again?
It's Blue City, but Blue, I said Music City.
We're going to go to
Blue
City.
And the ribs are really good.
They got really great reviews on Yelp. I looked at a bunch of other ones. They weren't very good, though, so we're going to go there.
Can I just tell you what you're going to hear in a second is me opening the jar of moonshine. So I'm just saying, I am participating, but in a different manner.
In a different way. It was not presented that way. I said we could go anywhere, but somehow you.
That was more like
railroad.
You can pick someone else. But I really want to go to the Music City.
I went there twice. You know, I went to this place after I had it,
and I went to this place. And it wasn't
I had
good.
To go back to just wash off that disgusting food I had from the other place.
Okay, did you enjoy the gumbo disco fries?
Yes, that was delicious.
Okay, that's it.
The gumbo, gumbo smothered fries was one of the highlights of the trip so far.
It was delicious.
That was good.
I like the chicken too. I didn't mind.
All I'm
so
saying
much,
is, chicken was.
I thought the chicken was just. It was okay. It wasn't bad.
It didn't have a kick.
Why would you do a boneless chicken breast if you're going to fry it anyway? That makes no sense. You got to have the bone.
Right?
You got to keep the bone in it.
See,
it's like putting stuffing inside a turkey.
You know, a couple other places.
It's like what?
Putting stuffing inside a turkey. We had this conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep, something that soaks up moisture instead of something that's already dry.
It's tradition, Patrick. That one's tradition.
I know, it's about flavor,
it's
whatever.
It's about tradition. Yeah, exactly. That's why I throw a bunch of butter in there, too. That's
under,
why
under the skin?
I do that, and I throw a couple pads at the bottom of the dressing as well in that carcass. Throw that in there. That's a whole different story. Your failure not to get the ribs at a rib joint. That's on you guys.
Your failure is to push in something.
I left it wide open.
At one point, I was like, why don't we try this place? And Doc was like, F you, Cal. We're going to Music City. And that's what we're going to do. Yes. Shut your mouth.
That I remember that. We're just parked. And you wanted to go. I think it was like the cigar place, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, no, no. F you, Cal. We're going to go to. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
All right. I have to say, I defended Cal all day. Right, I was on your side all day in the car yesterday. And about the app this morning, by the way. I was standing to the side. I wanted to say something, but there was no mic open for me.
That's right.
But I have to say, Doc didn't quite throw you under the bus like that.
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay, maybe okay,
you know what, Chef? He may have... Chef, hold on. You're just trying to come back and have a job at the place.
Absolutely.
Glenn,
are you listening?
Your butt kissing is not working.
And Matt,
okay?
No offense, Matt. I love you, Chef Matt. But hey, Glenn, are you listening?
That's right. Apparently, Patrick doesn't realize I wield no power.
Yeah, and
you
by the way,
what's better than one private chef? Two.
That's right.
You
know what? But if I can keep making Pat, Stu, and Jeffy happy,
I think you'll be fine. Yeah.
You know who wields even less power than me?
Jeffy.
Pat, Stu, and Jeffy.
Even less than me.
You know, just to let you know, the only segment that Glenn listened is the end of the song of our 3-hour show.
That's right. Of the last segment. Yeah, I get it, because that's the lead into his.
Yeah, Anya, now go home. He sometimes catches that.
Yeah, he's like, Anya, can we
get
that production guy out
there? So I just need to keep feeding him smoothies, then making sure my hand
gets
insignificant.
That and when we have cupcakes, he comes in.
He doesn't even direct people to listen to us.
No, oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even waste the time to direct us. You guys go listen to his snow.
In his mind, the Blaze Radio starts at 9 Eastern.
Okay, I have an idea. I have an idea for lunch. And again, this is completely left up to you guys. Now, Patrick has some places lined up. We can do those as well because we got a couple of days, right? Mm-hmm. You're on the road. You got to try different areas. We'll go to Cincinnati. We'll be in Louisville. We'll be around this area. But I'm suggesting maybe we try a Scottish restaurant. Mm-hmm. I know of one in the area. Scottish restaurant. How's that sound?
How many times have you visited this Scottish restaurant?
Sound good?
Haggis.
It's a Scottish restaurant.
Haggis.
Like
that's what the Scots are known for.
You got to say it like a...
Haggis.
They're not getting
a Scottish accent. Let's hear it.
You really can't say haggis in any
you
other
can
way.
You say more other stuff. I'm kind of setting you up here. But Heidi, what do you think? Are you up to trying Scottish food?
I saw one this morning
as we drove in.
I would love to try something unique here.
Do they sell red meat?
Yes, they do.
Well, then I cannot eat with
no,
my
red
friend
meat's
here.
Good. It's no pork.
I'm not good
with red meat.
And they have non-pork meat. They have beef.
Haggis qualifies. It's okay. Are they going to meet us at the door saying you can't come in?
You guys didn't see it. We passed.
They'll say.
I'm trying to remember the name. I saw it. Mac.
What's the next barbecue?
Mac.
Oh, McDonald's.
Welcome to McDonald's.
Right. You guys up for it?
Oh, I already
Scottish
have some.
Place unique to the.
Area. Anything on the menu? It's disgusting.
No,
it's
not good. No. That's a fail as well.
That's because he's not drinking yet.
Okay, I've got this British place.
British, ooh, fish and chips.
It's right from British royalty. It's a Burger King. What do you guys think? That's get a break in.
Do you think that was part of what the special meeting that was called for the staff?
I think it was their outreach. They're buying Burger King and Dairy Queen. This is the Morning Blaze.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Apparently, Iran has tried to test fire a cruise missile from a submarine in the southern Persian Gulf and failed.
How did that work?
It failed. It did not happen.
Did it get the same engineer that worked in the one in North Korea?
Or the second one in North Korea?
Yes.
Or the same engineer worked on the third one that tried to test in North Korea? Okay, this is giving a lot of credence to what Jason Buttrell told me on the think tank. in the last, he's had this idea that North Korea has failed so many times testing these new rockets, which they've been successful in the past. I mean, yeah, they've had failures in the past too, or past as well. But those right in a row, there were two or three that all failed. Meanwhile, we're test firing ICBMs from California to the Marshall Islands, and we got another one scheduled. And then Iran steps up and says, we're going to posture, and theirs fail. And Jason was suggesting that there's a possibility. Maybe the reason they're failing is because we had something to do with their failures. That no government are admitting any of the capabilities and technologies they have when it comes to cyber warfare. It exists right now. Cyber warfare happens
absolutely
on a grand scale.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it's really inexpensive. You can hire a dozen people for a cheap wage and put them. They can work anywhere they want in America, and they can wage cyber warfare on their own or on behalf of our government to everybody and everything around the globe.
Well, just a couple 13-year-old hackers pay them in Pop-Tarts.
Right, exactly.
Whatever you need.
Right. So we know this is happening. You know the government, our government has to have hundreds, maybe thousands of people doing this in the military. We know North Korea has
China
special.
Has. They all have. Oh, Russia China has. Absolutely.
Well, we got reports, and I can't remember what it's called, Room 13, or there's some odd name room in their capital, Pyongyang, at one of the military installations where they just hired these people to wage cyber warfare. The difference now, used to be a country like North Korea would have to get some big guns like a nuclear weapon to be taken seriously. A lot of times they don't have the resources or the financial resources to get it done. Now, you can be a major player if you have that level of capability to wage cyber warfare, and it costs virtually nothing. It's a couple of salaries. And you know they're not paying well anyways in North Korea. Have you seen them? Okay. Not like they're living in the lap of luxury other than that fat butterball Kim Jong-un, right? So, if this is going on, nobody's admitting to it, isn't it reasonable to at least entertain the idea
absolutely
that they may have failed because of our
cyber warfare? Absolutely, yeah.
Worth considering, right? And if we were to ever take greater military action to either overthrow the regime in North Korea, as we've suggested, or to shut down their nuclear capability, we know we have to get every missile and round that they fire as we go in.
Because all at once.
Right, it doesn't even have to be nuclear because just 30 miles, 35 miles away is Seoul, 20 million people. They get just a missile off. Doesn't have to be nuclear.
The entire south is
20,000 people
vaporized.
Could be killed. Right. So therefore, wouldn't you, if you have the capability for cyber warfare, an EMP of sorts, mm-hmm. you just go in?
Cut out the power.
Right.
Kill
that's
their grid.
Cut down a lot of stuff, right? We know they put up this new THAAD missile shield, so
the one that we gave to South Korea.
Right, South Korea put it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so Iran tries to test fire this missile and it fails. One official described it as a basic ejection test.
What are they, I mean, also you gotta wonder, what are they thinking? In the middle of all the crap that's going on with North Korea right now, they're gonna test a missile? And I mean, I don't know the exact details of the nuclear
right.
deal we had with them, but are they allowed?
I didn't think they... Well, this,
I thought they weren't allowed.
Right, and this wasn't a nuclear test, but it was a missile. We did limit some of their missile capability. Specifically, part of the deal we had with them was they would stop enriching uranium and all that stuff, but they would alter, change, or stop their missile technology as well. Because they made the argument, no... All of this nuclear material, it's for our factories, for
power
plants.
Yeah.
That's what it's
plants.
For.
Yeah.
That's the ticket.
We're not testing anything for warfare
right.
at all.
So we're like, okay, fine. Well, why are you testing the missiles then? The missiles are
because
used
the
for
missile, we shoot
missiles.
The missiles into the power plant to power
is that what it is?
Up.
It's they're generating
that's
electricity
how,
with the missiles.
That's
is that what it is?
That's how we do it,
yeah. So, no, Cal, this has to be some sort of failure. Are they testing Trump? Are they just not getting the love from America that North Korea is getting now?
It's also, you got to wonder, if we as the U.S. take on North Korea, if Iran's looking at it like they can't take both of us on, they can't spread themselves too thin, let's just do it.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you're any country, remember, America goes down, everybody moves up a chair.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. There's a voiceover guy who legendary in the industry. His name's Ernie Anderson. He used to be the one that was the booth announcer for ABC and did The Love Boat, right? He did all the, tonight on the Monday Night Movie. Remember Ernie? He was the voiceover guy. There's everybody else, and then he stands alone at the top. A few years ago, he dies, and I've done voiceover work. I've always loved, you know, that and the big voice guys. And a buddy of mine calls me, and he goes, and I've never met Ernie, but he's that idol, that legend. He goes, Ernie, dear. And I said, yeah. I said, it sucks.
Bummer.
I said, but you know, we all move up a chair. Because we are all lesser. Every other country is lesser.
Same thing happened with Don Pardo, the guy that the movie trailer voice.
Don Pardo.
The guy that does In a World. Oh, all the movie trailers.
What's that guy? That,
doesn't Don Pardo?
No, Don Pardo was the one who used to do Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Another big
Don voice. He's Don something.
Fontaine.
Don Fontaine, yes. And yeah. Now there's like world. All the movie trailer guys like, oh, I have a chance now.
I know, exactly. We could get some of his. Everybody moves up a chair. That's what they're thinking with America. So why wouldn't you? You know, pile on. And I guarantee you, if we really got in the crap again and take it on, of course, everybody's just like, pile on.
Bring it on.
Start chopping that oak tree down. That's what it is.
Give the rest of us a chance.
All right, it's the Morning Blaze live from Boundary Oak Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky. We got the Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday. Jeff Fisher will be broadcasting live on the Blaze Radio Network. His regular scheduled time, 9 to noon on Saturday. Is that correct?
Yes, 9 to noon Eastern.
Just prior to that show on the Blaze Radio Network every Saturday morning is Mike Opalka at StuntBrain on Twitter. He will join us next as we gloat that we are here and he is not.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, joining us now is on Twitter at StuntBrain. It's Mike Opalka. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm a little envious. You finally found a way to get to a place where there's booze flowing on your show all the time.
I know. And you know what? It's really high quality.
In reality, booze is always on the show. Doc can just talk about it today,
yeah,
publicly.
Exactly. Right, right.
Oh.
Right.
I'm sorry, I left out the word free. Free booze is
yes,
flowing on
that's
your show.
Always helpful. Mike, you're a man who enjoys a good quality spirit.
Yes.
I was going to share some ideas with you. They have the Lincoln here at Boundary Oaks Distillery, which we're sampling right now, and it's very tasty. We've had the Patent Armor Diesel in the past. That's awesome. Do you like the cinnamon flavor?
No, I'm
or
more
is that
of
too
a
novelty
classicist.
For you?
Yeah. I don't like you jazzing up my whiskey or my bourbon. I just like okay. The good old fashioned. Yeah.
You know, maybe we hook you up.
I wouldn't be mad at that. You know, I do have.
And maybe
have
you do
a
me a favor at some point in the future.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
There may come a time. Where I may ask you for a favor.
That's right.
You yeah. come to me on my daughter's wedding and ask me a favor.
So what were you saying? Yes, you're the novelty collector?
I may have a bottle left of the Rodham Rye, the limited edition whiskey that was made by an all-female distillery in Washington, D.C. I might have one of those bottles left over. We could.
Was that made in like the
trade.
Trunk of an old car or something? Is that where?
I think they drained the gas tank on a Prius and filtered it, and then served it up in a bar in Washington, D.C.
I know it's bitter. I know that.
Oh, it's very bitter, and it's likely to remain bitter until its next release in 2020. I think it's called the Chelsea Chianti, which could be coming out then.
I heard it settles pretty low on the cankles.
Yeah, it does. It goes right to the cankles.
Yeah, it runs. So, and speaking of alcohol,
yeah.
And I'm sure you heard Hillary Clinton's been arrested under suspicion of drunk driving.
Did you hear it?
Hillary Clinton's been
arrested on. He's not joking.
He's serious. You're serious right now. You're not being.
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Like, there was a car.
Seriously. Hillary Clinton has been arrested chase. On suspicion of drunk driving. Oh my God.
Car chase from Maryland car into chase. Pennsylvania, and state Listen troopers from two different counties chased the car driven by Hillary Clinton. And when they stopped, they had to put down the spike strips to stop the car to give flat tires. Listen, and when they stopped and arrested the woman behind the wheel, she identifies as Hillary Clinton. That's not the name on her driver's license, but she identifies as Hillary Clinton.
She identifies as Hillary Clinton, so it's Hillary, right?
Oh, you got me there
I
for a while.
I hate you guys.
What are you
jerks. Both of you guys.
What do you mean?
I would like... I'm here. My fingers cannot type fast enough. Fact checking this.
What is there to fact check? She identifies as Hillary Clinton, ergo, she is Hillary Clinton. It's 2017, Chris.
You know what? You're right, because I went out with, you're right.
You're right. See, she identifies as Hillary Clinton. Bruce Jenner is now Caitlyn. It's over. It's done.
Oh, my.
She was born a completely different identity. But she now chooses, and it is her right to identify as Hillary Clinton. And we as Americans, we as thinking, real people, she deserves our respect for her wishes. She is transitioning into Hillary Clinton, and she must, because she identifies, she must get our respect, and we must recognize that she is, in fact, Hillary Clinton.
Has she chosen any pronouns yet? Has she chosen her personal pronouns, or is it just Hillary?
Her PGP, her preferred gender pronoun, one would expect would be she, her, hers. But you know, she's currently unavailable for comment. Hillary Clinton is not available for comment. She's sitting in a cell in Pennsylvania.
So does this mean that I'm going to have to call her Madam Secretary?
I think so.
No,
does she identify as Secretary?
She just identifies as Hillary Clinton. So, you know, it could be any number of kinds of Hillary Clinton in her life. We'll just have to see. But I do think this is a critical point in the trans world that we identify. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves. If Hillary Clinton has a drinking problem, right now it's just suspicion of drunk driving because she would not submit to drug or alcohol tests. But I think we need to give her that respect which she demands, like every human demands.
Well, we learned that Barack Obama did cocaine during his grad school.
According to that new according book to coming the, out, right?
And he cheated on Michelle while they were engaged. So, you know what? I believe this. The Democrats are just off the wagon? On the wagon?
And you know, Mike, if Hillary Clinton was, in fact, drinking and driving and fleeing from the police and the stop sticks had to stop the car, isn't that really a cry for help?
Oh, I think this is the moment where maybe this is Hillary Clinton's pivot point. Maybe this is the moment when she finally gets the help she needs.
Are we sure this isn't fake news?
No, she identifies as Hillary. News. That's all you need to know. She was born and used to have a different name.
Yeah, you might have known her as Holly.
Okay.
But no, she's that's Hillary. Right.
Hillary Cruz?
How dare you? How dare you not recognize, accept who she is? You know, now you're going to tell me that what?
I was going to say her body and her mind are out of sync. Her mind, she is Hillary Clinton. Her body is some completely other woman. She's known this since birth, Cal.
Oh, okay. So she was, we're just keeping her down then.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, you are an oppressor. Yeah.
I am
an oppressor. She's not fully appropriating Hillary. She's identifying as Hillary. It's a different thing altogether.
You know, it's a whole thing about you, cisgender person, that will not accept that a woman has a penis. You know what?
Thank you.
I am sick and tired of your bigotry, you Muslim bigotry in this radio show.
Yeah, you Muslim. Where are you?
You know.
We still don't know what Muslim is.
What kind of an animal is a moose-lem? I've never seen them. I've seen a moose. I haven't seen a moose.
You know, there are lemmings. You know, there are lemmings and that there are mooses. And you know what like a labradoodle is, right? It's a moose-lem. Yeah.
Right. So this might be a hybrid, you're saying? Some sort of scientific creation?
So which one was the Muslim, Rocky or Bullwinkle?
He was half Muslim.
Oh, come on. Okay.
And that's what it was. Mike, I noticed something interesting. You probably saw the Hillary event where she was with Christina Poor, where she took full responsibility for her losing the election and then quickly blamed Jim Comey, right? You saw that?
Yeah. Christina, okay. Please get her name right. It's Anamapour.
Anamapour. Anamapour. Anamapour. So, she took full responsibility and then blamed other people. And I start thinking, you know, she went on and on. And I was like, wow, this woman still has not gotten over that loss last November, right?
She'll never get over that.
And then I realized, after hearing Donald Trump over the weekend, I realized he's never gotten over that win in November.
He'll never get over that.
Mike, nobody has gotten over the election. The people who lost, the people who won. Nobody's getting over it.
The American people, a good portion of the country is marching every weekend for some reason.
Right. Even the people who won, Mike, they're still not over it. They're still out there banging the drum. Nobody has accepted it.
Nobody's accepted it. Although it sounds like Bill Maher has. I love Bill Maher's characterization of Hillary Clinton saying she couldn't fill the meeting room at an Olive Garden, the event room at an Olive Garden. your own is turning on you, you know, when you're she's now being chomped on by her own. Oh, by the way, can we do some happy news here before you throw me out of here?
Sure.
We say congratulations to America's newest celebrity couple?
Who's that? Who's that?
You're probably thinking J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez. No. Mika and Joe are engaged.
Are they actually?
Are they really?
Okay.
Yes.
Those were the rumors that they were dating.
This is not two people identifying as Mika and Joe. This is Mika and Joe. The real Mika and Joe. He reportedly got down on one knee and proposed to her in France, and he actually happened to be down on the ground after she smacked him from last week making fun of her. Mm-hmm. But he pulled out a ring.
That's very sexist of Joe for him to get on one knee and not let her get on one knee and propose to him.
You know,
I didn't even know they were together.
Yeah, they've been dating for a while, secretly. And some of the news had kind of come out in the last couple of months, but this doesn't make me say, wow. You know what? Apparently, Mika Brzezinski is not as leftist, extremist, crazy, bat crap crazy as I thought. This just makes me say, wow, Joe is even more bat crap crazy Nazi-esque than I thought.
Well, I think this is a cry for help for Joe, just like Hillary Clinton getting arrested for drunk driving. It's a cry for help.
All right, on Twitter, it's at StuntBrain. You'll be on noon to 3 Eastern time today, right?
Yes, sir. And please, people, go to theblaze.com and click on channels. Doc already has enough followers. I'm trying to catch him. Please.
Mike needs some. Please help a brother out. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Got to tell you about
Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory that is helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. If you don't know it by now, chronic pain usually has to do with inflammation in your body. And if you're taking narcotics or something else that's prescribed, it's not really dealing with the problem. It's usually just masking it. Then you get all those nasty side effects, especially long-term exposure to prescribed narcotics. You don't want that. Often the side effects are much worse than what you're dealing with initially, if you simply deal with that inflammation. We've heard so many stories from Blaze listeners who told us the remarkable real-life stories of how Relief Factor is helping them, giving them their life back. Veterans who've been able to find or return to work after finally getting off prescribed pain medication. Hardworking Americans like you and Chris, well, not Chris. Hardworking Americans like some people who've been able to become an active member of their family or job again. And it's all because of Relief Factor. You can start it right now. A 3-week quick start pack for under $20. It's just $19.95. All you have to do is call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com. 800-500-8384.
You're waking up to the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today here at Boundary Oaks Distillery in Radcliffe, Kentucky. We learned the GOP's Obamacare replacement is good enough for you, but not good enough for Congress. We learned cremating gay men can cause others to get the gay.
Yeah, you got
to
be careful. You don't want to get too close.
We learned Cal doesn't get free stuff from the government because he's rich.
Yeah, very.
Cal, spin of the dials, radio stop. No, you're not. Cal, sitting next to me at Boundary Oaks Distillery today. What, if anything, did you learn?
I learned Doc will have lunch anywhere. As long as where he wants to go.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly it.
I learned the Department of Justice is finally cracking down on that global syndicated drug cartel that threatens us all. Grandmothers with terminal cancer. And finally, I learned Bullwinkle is a Muslim.
He really is.
He's a Muslim.
He's part Muslim. Muslim. All right, Kirk, spin of the dials, radio style, and tell us Texas Morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
What I learned today is I've been here for the past couple months, but the Morning Blaze might have a slight drinking problem.
No, I said it.
I want to make y'all aware.
Celebrity chef Patrick Moser, what, if anything, did you learn on the road with us today?
I learned that at 8 a.m. in the morning, Kentucky proof, 101 proof moonshine is the cure to all ales until it is the ailment.
It goes great with eggs. On eggs, under eggs, side eggs.
And then 20 minutes
by itself.
JR15 joined us live in studio today. What, if anything, did you learn today? You're doing it wrong. You definitely are. I would say most of the time. Most of the time. All right. Founder and proprietor of Boundary Oaks Distillery, Brent, what, if anything, did you learn having us here today?
Be careful who you let in front door at
5. You don't want to give Chris the code
to the
door.
I told you, leave the key under the mat.
Under the mat, exactly. All right, Chris Cruz, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
We got Eric King learning broadcasting live from the distillery. What could possibly go wrong? Will Chris Cruz end up in the neighbor's yard?
That has happened before.
And I'm going to chastise this one. Kieran Elson said, amazing that Doc Thompson managed to talk Glenn Beck into letting him get drunk on air tour. We're not doing
that.
We're
not drunk.
We're not getting drunk tour. Sleeve did it also learning, mark it down this day. This will be the absolute last moment Doc Thompson and Chris Cruz are sober today.
Probably.
And Big Daddy will finally learning, yesterday was gold crabs. Today, gold people. It's gold, Jerry, I tell you.
It's gold.
It's gold.
It's gold, I tell you. It's gold. I just realized I didn't get those news.
You said at the app of the week.
It's on me. We got tomorrow. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Your Friday leftovers and a Pussycat doll joins us, Kaya Jones.
I don't know what you're working with this angle, but I know you like the Pussycat dolls, Chris.
I love them.
We'll see what that's all about. Is he serious? They're actually joining us
tomorrow. Yeah, she's coming. She's going to
What
be
is Glenn have coming up in this program today?
Country music star Aaron Watson plays a new song with Pat, possibly.
What is Glenn wearing today?
Disdain. A look of disdain after
it
hearing
looks
our show.
On him, though. But that's the face that he does
the
every day.
The furrowed brow, though.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, that's more angry Glenn today.
He caught more.
It's paranoid the world's going to end tomorrow.
He caught more of the show than normal.
All right. Remember, the Morning Blaze is a today Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
On your now. You go home.
Echo. Echo.
Okay. Now we can start drinking.
Here we go. Crack the bottle.
More.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.